Right, Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Well, we had the floods earlier on in the year in some parts of the country. Certain areas, well, still affected by the floods are here. That some areas in Bayelsa State haven't really dried up completely and people are still facing the effects of the flood. But the conversation this morning has a lot to do with perhaps are there any plans already on ground or on the side waiting to be affected by the government with regards to post-flooding, the effects and how to reintegrate victims of the flood. That's a big question. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Get on social media at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. We have that question up there for you and we would like to get your opinion on it. Do you think that the government at all levels now, I'm talking federal, state and local, have a post-flood reintegration plan for victims? Well, it's a broad conversation, so we'll take it one part at a time because if you look at it, the livelihoods of people were affected in many ways, from food to their health to accommodation issues to education and all of these areas. But today, we would look at just basically the health area of it and what should be on ground, because they say health is wealth. I'll be speaking with two different people today. First off, with me in the studio would be Dr. Biaye Briggs, is a public health physician and a Rotarian as well, who would be joining me live in the studio. Meanwhile, over the phone, I have a traditional ruler from Ekpeye Kingdom with me. I'm talking about His Royal Highness Otuwakpo, Felix Otuwakpo. He would be speaking with me on first the condition of flood victims at the moment, looking at the post-flood. Hello, good morning, Your Highness. You're welcome. Good morning to you.
Good morning, CMA Andrew, and good morning, River State. The king of Okpata Kingdom.
Okpata, I beg your pardon. I keep saying Ekpeye all the time, so people don't come for me. My apologies. Yeah. Okpata Kingdom.
No, Ekpeye is the ethnic nation in charge of Okpata Kingdom.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the clarification. So, what is, first off, would like to know the situation of flood victims now? The water has receded in many parts, but we all are aware that the damage caused by the flood is still left behind. What is the situation like?
First, I would like to thank
His
Excellency the Governor of River State for the measures we put in place to mitigate the suffering of the victim by setting up a very strong power task force to go around the different areas affected and provide relief materials. Having said that, we are currently facing a lot of challenges, the aftermath of the flood disaster. Presently, we have 503 families that are still displaced. They are displaced because during the flood disaster, we suffered 1,781 damages in terms of buildings.
Was this just in Okpata Kingdom?
And completely destroyed.
Was this just in Okpata Kingdom?
In Okpata Kingdom.
Okay.
Out of this 1,026 buildings were partially destroyed, while 755 buildings were completely destroyed. And so the victims are hanging around with their neighbors and their brothers and sisters. But in some of our communities, we still house 503 families in different town halls because they have to vacate the schools for schools to resume.
So till this moment, we still have people who are living in town halls, or should I say IDP camps?
Well, I don't like using the word IDP camps because these camps are not properly situated to be called IDP camps. You know, when you talk of IDP camps, there should be facilities to make life comfortable for these people, but they are just presently settled in the community town house while they are walking around the clock to repair their damaged building. And then we equally have issues of food security. The flood damaged 2,416 farmland in Opata Kingdom. 1,110 were partially damaged, while 1,306 were completely destroyed farmland. And so this poses a serious challenge to food security in Opata Kingdom.
This data you're calling out, how were they arrived at?
The Opata Kingdom set up a flood monitoring committee at the advent of the flood disaster. And this committee worked with the flood committee of the Ahoda East Local Government Council and the River State Government Committee. And as soon as the water started receding, we reorganized the committee to now carry out post-flood analysis of damages in our communities and come up with a report. And this report, as I'm rolling out to you, has been submitted to the Central Committee of the FIA Flood Disaster Committee for onward transmission to the Ahoda East Local Government Council and the State Monitoring Committee. So we took pains to go around the community to get this data.
So now
what I'm giving you is a fact on the ground that can be verified by any authority.
Can you verify for us, has there been any conversation with perhaps the committee? Because I know I was trying to speak with the committee chairman, George Nwaike, who was supposed to be part of this conversation. In fact, we had an agreement that he was going to be with me on to have a conversation around this and to know what next steps the committee would be taking. But unfortunately, for one reason or the other, which I'm not aware of, he wasn't responding to his calls or messages. But have you had perhaps by chance a conversation with him, the chairman of the flood committee, or any other representative of the government with regards to any plan whatsoever to help reintegrate people back to society after the disaster caused by the flood?
Well, as a kingdom, we have stated our position clearly in terms of the number of dead, number of injured, the buildings, the farmland, the fish ponds and settlements, and the number of people currently displaced, and issues dealing from food security. We have taken these facts in clear terms and submitted them to the affairs flood management committee for onward transmission to the chairman, the state chairman of the task force on the mitigation of flood. We prefer to follow the channel of communication so that we will not be misunderstood.
Can you give us data on the fatalities? Because you were saying that you have records of how many lives were lost in Opata Kingdom precisely.
We lost 28 persons during the flood disaster.
What's the health situation like at the moment? Because we would understand that when things like this happen, you would have communicable diseases. And you have also highlighted, which many have alluded to, the fact that these makeshift structures, if I would use that word instead of IDP camps, because you say you're not comfortable with IDP camps, do not have the required living standard. Hence, what we would expect would be outbreak of diseases. So what is the health and sanitary condition like at the moment? And now that the floods have receded, we know that during the floods, people must have come down with one form of illness or the other. And now the plan would be after the flood, how are we checking these people before they mingle with other members of society? Has there been any approach perhaps from the health sector in any way in the government to look at, or are there any plans that you've heard or that you have to address the health issues that may arise from the impact of the flood?
As a matter of fact, we are in a society where a lot of things are taken for granted. When situations like this occur, we expect the National Emergency Management Agency to provide guidance to state and local government authorities on how to go about some of these things. But unfortunately, NEMA never showed any presence up to this minute that I'm speaking. NEMA never showed any presence. And in the absence of NEMA coming out with a robust presence, it will be difficult for the state authorities and the local government authorities to understand clearly what they are supposed to do in situations like this. Beyond the fumigation of the camps by the state Ministry of Environment, you know, nothing actually, you know, came up throughout the stay of the displaced persons in the camps. We never had presence of any medical doctor, you know, medical doctor from the public sector coming to help our people. The only doctors that came, you know, was through our collaboration with the Nigerian police. The Nigerian police sent medical doctors to come and attend to our people in the camps.
So doctors from the NMA did not come? Because I know that I had conversations with some people from the NMA.
The doctors from NMA never visited the Opata, the six camps in Opata Kingdom. If they feel they come to Opata, let them prove it. Because I never traveled out of them throughout the flood period. And I visited the camps, all the camps, twice a day. So no health practitioner came to Opata Kingdom aside from the doctors from the Nigerian police. And now these people have returned home while in the camp. We recorded 267 cases of pneumonia, 303 malaria cases. In the course of checking the patients through tests, we discovered 44 HIV infections. There were 16 cholera cases, 77 purging and vomiting, and 106 hard drug casual patients. Now, the doctors on
who carried out these tests?
HIV patients have been sent for further treatment and assessment.
So who carried out these tests to confirm that these people were down with this?
We expected that the communities where they are going to haven't been completely submerged by flood, ought to have been fumigated. But this was not done.
Mm.
And the people are exposed to more danger, more health dangers.
I was trying to confirm from you, the figures you reeled out now with people who were down with, who had HIV, who had malaria, who had pneumonia and the rest of them. Who carried out these tests to confirm that these people actually had these health issues?
We had doctors from the Nigerian police, medical doctors with their other professionals, the lab technicians and all that.
Okay, so they came often and on, or I thought perhaps they visited once in a while?
They were with us for 4 days.
Okay. All right.
Then after their activities in Upper Kingdom, those who have serious cases were given further treatment.
Hmm. All right.
They are receiving further treatment, and there are some of them, the injured, those who were injured in the camp, of course, we are taking care of those ones on our own.
Mm. All right, Your Highness. We have a short commercial coming up. We'll just attempt to wrap up before we let you go. At the moment now, you've highlighted a few things. Food, health, the education sector, although I've spoken with the Commissioner for Education, and he says plans are on, and perhaps we'll have him in the studio sometime soon to give us details about that plan, on the plans that the government might have on ground to tackle that problem. But we know that we had children who missed school because of the flooding. And in your own kingdom where you are head, how have that been addressed? Has there been any presence?
Yeah, we lost almost more than a month of school hours. Our children were not in school. you know, and presently all the schools have resumed, and the students are back to school. You know, and of course we've the committee we set up to address the situation, the post-floor situation, have been going around to meet with the teacher, the principals and the head teachers to redouble their efforts to make sure they bridge the gap caused by the flood disaster. But the major complaint we've received so far are from some schools where certain infrastructure were destroyed as a result of the usage by the internally displaced person, especially the Opatawan Community School, Edoha, the Upawo Secondary School, the Lopata Primary Health Center, and the secondary school at the primary school at Ojabede, the state primary school at Ojabede. Most of the facilities at these areas were destroyed by the internally displaced persons, not intentionally, but as a result of the overcrowding and all that. But, and we have sent a position paper to the chairman of the Outer East local government to kindly see how he could rehabilitate some of these facilities to make learning more conducive for the children. And so the chairman of our East local government, Chief Benjamin Eke, is a very proactive public officer who has been on ground all this while to provide the needed support to us. And he has promised to look into this damaged infrastructure.
Okay, Your Highness. Thank you. We have to say thank you very much for making our time to be with us this morning. We'll definitely keep in touch for any new development.
Thank you.
All right, there you heard a traditional ruler for Akpata Kingdom, Felix Otuwarigbo, speaking on post-flooding, what really is on ground, the situation. And we're asking you on social media, you think the government at all levels have a post-flood reintegration plan for victims? We'll find out when we return. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're still live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Be a part of the conversation. You can watch, you can listen, you can drop your comments. And, well, we're asking candidly, do you think, and be honest about it, do you think government at all levels have a post-flood reintegration plan for victims? Is there anything of such? Remember, infrastructure has been destroyed. I know that the East-West Road is one that they're working on, portions of it, some people even say. Infrastructure has been destroyed. Health implications, education, curriculum affected for some people. I think about food security problems, a threat now in many areas where the flood, the footprints of the flood was left behind. Some people have problems with feeding now. A lot ongoing. Some people might have even lost their jobs. Is there a proper reintegration plan? Something like we had for COVID in the United States, well, when the lockdown was over, and you see government having plans and trying to see how they can get people back on their feet and how what government can do to support. Do we have such plan? Do you think we have such plan at all levels in this country? Well, let us know what your opinion is on that particular question at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. On WhatsApp, the number is 0809-030-6416. Again, 0809-030-6416. I'll take that one more time. 0809-030-6416. You can call us up using the phone number 070-0923-0923. 0723. Again, 0700923 0923. You listened to the traditional ruler of Okpata Kingdom, Felix Otuwaekpo, and the details that he gave and the data as he put out and how detailed they were with regards to some of the difficulties or issues that the victims are facing at the moment. But one that really struck me, which is the one we're trying to focus more on today, is the health implication of this. Post-flooding, the health implications. What should be done? How should we go about addressing this so that communities might not go down with an epidemic? Some people might even be experiencing that and we don't know yet. But some of the things he said, you listened. We're going to get your opinion shortly. But let me get to my guest in the studio at the moment, who is a public health physician, is also a Rotarian, Dr. Biaye Briggs. You're welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, Femi, and thank you, listeners.
We do not have a lot of time on our hands, so let's see if we can do something for 10 minutes or less so that we can take contributions from our caller, our listener. I'm sure you heard some of the things that were said by the traditional ruler. What is your view as a public health practitioner? How should we be addressing this problem, especially that affects our health? He talked about people who had HIV, people who had who came down with pneumonia, people who suffered malaria and many other illnesses. How do we address this? And that's just for one kingdom.
One kingdom, yeah.
One community.
I really want to thank the traditional ruler because he reeled out very fascinating and intriguing statistics. You know, I didn't know that there's a community that is so well organized that they would go to the extent of keeping such records, you know. And this goes to tell us how bad that the situation is really. And then if you look at it, it's just a kingdom, not the statistic does not represent the holistic
because remember
flood
the
disaster we had
the
in
whole
the
of
university.
The Urashi region has exactly. not been looked into. So part of it.
Recall when we came here some weeks back to talk about the flood, we mentioned some of the statistics he had reeled out, like malaria infections, acute watery diarrhea, pneumonias, and all that. So we're not surprised as public health physicians. This is what is expected. But then, post-flood, there are certain things that need to be done. Health checks. Okay, there needs to be health audit of the people.
Should that happen before these people leave the camps and return back to the community?
Yes, it should have been ongoing while they were still in the camp. But since you heard him say that no doctor,
yeah.
no health care was
except
given to
for the except ones from the police.
From the police. Okay, so, and then...
Kudos to the police for that, by the way.
Yes, we need to give police kudos. You know, when they do something good, we don't really talk much about it. So we really need to commend the police for that kind gesture and that we look forward to them expanding such in future. So, but what we are saying is that you know, you asked a question if there is a standard operational procedure for post-flood management. The answer is no, emphatically no. Because
well, there is none at all
for this federal, state, or local government areas. There is nothing like that. In fact, there is no standard SOP for flood management generally. You know, when I came the last time, I talked about prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery. Okay, that is
the phases
of management of flood. So, where you try to prevent, if you're in a community that is in a flood prone areas, you try to prevent the flood. While preventing it, you also put in place mitigation. You have to be prepared. If your prevention fails, what are the things you need to do to reduce the impact of the flood on lives and livelihoods? Mm. Okay, then. When it does happen, your response, you know, so these are things that are one after the other. They are in quick succession, okay? So after the response, you need to make people recover, help people recover so that they can go back to as near as normal, to their near as normal lifestyle. Because when I say near normal, because they can't totally be normal, especially those who have lost lives, who have lost their lives, those family members that have lost loved ones and people they care about. They can never be normal.
Let me pause you, Doc. Let's listen to Ima from NTA. Hello, Ima, good morning. Hello. All right, sadly, we lost that call from Ima. The number to call is 07009230923. Again, 07009230923. We'll put out the question. My guest already has said there is no standard procedure at federal, state, or local government level. That's his position. Is that yours? Though, do we have such? Now that the flood is gone, what's the plan and how do we go about it? So you were talking about prevention, preparation, recovery, and
response and recovery. So, what the phase we are in that we're supposed to be doing now is to help people reintegrate back to society, to see how they can restart their lives, build their houses, build their businesses, to see how the health facilities in the communities can be reestablished and running so that they can go and do their health checks there. You know, in terms of children, you want to do malaria tests to check if they're having any malarial infections, give them malaria prophylaxis medications. You need to give them medications such as oral rehydration solutions, zinc. You need to give them drugs to prevent worm infestation. And then for the women that are supposed to have been going attending antenatal care for pregnant women, they need to start as soon as possible. For those children that have missed their immunization schedules, according to the NPI, the National Program on Immunization, they need to start, you know, immunizing them again, because these are services that were not available at the time of the flood. And of course, we saw pictures where health facilities, healthcare centers were overrun by flood.
What happens to those now that
the people are going, beginning to return to their communities, those health services must be restored as quickly as possible so that people can have access. Of course, you also know that there are some diabetic patients, hypertensive patients. Of course, they need to go back to the hospital to get their BP checked, their fasting blood sugar checked, and their medications given. So these are things that should be happening as we speak.
But why are we not having this conversation? I mean, on the side of government, we've been commissioning projects, which is good, but we've not really had, whether from a commissioner of health, I'm sure we have one. We've not heard from some of the flood community. No official statement. It's sad, but then we seem to be in a situation where people who are in a position to give rivers people information and fast track these processes seem like maybe they don't know what to do, or they're not asking the right question, or they just don't want to speak about it. Is there perhaps a reason why you think the situation is the way it is? But before you reply, Okonkwo is calling from Rumokuta. Okonkwo, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. CM, I hope it was in this year platform. And here I am about 3 weeks ago, that a group of persons, they came and said that they set an emergency management agency that they visited all the areas that were affected. But I was surprised by the debunking statement of the traditional ruler that up to now that there was no state management agency present. It was also in this platform that a group came and said there were sufficient food, sufficient water, everything in the ID camps, at all the people at the areas that were affected. And I was surprised that the traditional rulers said that they were frustrated and nothing was given to them. It was also in this platform that they said that there were no health challenges, no health challenges in any form. And it was from the traditional ruler I heard that that tests were conducted and there were many health challenges. So what is exactly how I'm confused. How are people deceiving people in this country? And you're asking what they will do in this post flood challenge. They will not do anything, but they will use many platforms to come and lie to the society and to the citizens. It's unfortunate. Let the people that are affected continue to treat themselves as they will be able, as God sustains them. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Okonkwo. He says, well, his situation seems one that you would say is hopeless. It's, don't expect anything because he doesn't think anybody would look into this or anybody would do anything. But people pay taxes. It's disheartening, but this is what it is, that we don't have, you said we don't have any plans at all that's existing, that, you know, that would only need
a coordinated plan, you know, that would be activated in the case of flood, that once flood comes, these are A, B, C, D things we are going to be doing. So once the protocol is activated, once there's a flood, so everybody who has a role to play in the course of responding knows what to do at what particular time, where, when, and how. So it's clearly defined in a standard operative procedure. That's not, but I need to make some corrections the last caller, Okonkwo, made. The traditional rule, I listened to him very carefully. He never talked about SEMA. SEMA is State Emergency Management Agency. And there's no NEMA. SEMA. There's no SEMA in River State.
Yes.
Maybe going forward, the state government may want to look into, you know, forming, you know, a State Emergency Management Agency. He said NEMA. National Emergency Management Agency. So that's what he says, and I need to make that correction. Okay, so yes, people must take their destinies in their hands, but we are talking about an ideal situation, what should be done, and that's what we are saying. You know, because of the health facilities that were affected, before the people even leave their camps or the makeshift camps they resided in during the floods. These things would have, once the water begins to recede, these are the first things that needs to be put in place. The fixing of the healthcare centers, making sure there is potable water, there is good electricity supply, good environmental sanitation done, you know, because they can't just move except a government authority certify that place to be safe for them to return. And before they return, these things would have been done so that they go back and then they begin to have access to social services.
You think what we're seeing on the east west, what we're seeing on the east west road is because of maybe the economic importance? Because I mean, the east west road was, I mean, damaged to a large extent. Same work is ongoing in Bayelsa State. The road leading to the state university was also destroyed, but then work is ongoing because people need to go to school. But then we haven't seen or heard about work ongoing for the health centers or the communities where people, houses were destroyed. What is being done? Health check for people who were in the IDP camps. What are the plans for food security? Because farms were destroyed. What are we doing? The Ministry for Agriculture, is there any plan? Who is working? Who is talking? We seem not to be hearing all of this. Would that have been the case of the East West Road, perhaps, if it was not the East West Road?
Maybe, you know, that's why we said that we're saying that going forward, because I do not like dwelling on problems. I'm a solution-oriented person. So this is something that is going to be happening again and again. It's a natural disaster. Nobody can stop it. Mm. We can reduce its impact on our lives and our economy. Okay, so what we are saying is that after now, the government needs to, you know, organize a conference or a summit where experts, communities, civil society, media, and agencies of government, and even multinational organizations, the UNICEF, WHO, UN agencies responsible for flood disasters and all that, and we come together and then brainstorm. At the end of the day, we come up with solutions that are practicable, you know, that can be done in our, you know, we try to make it unique to our own environment so okay. that once there's a flood disaster, we have a standard that we're going to, a protocol that we're going to follow. So everybody knows what he or she is doing, the state, the federal and the local governments, the community, CDC, traditional rulers, they all have roles to play. Okay? Mm. Like, for instance, if we had flood marshals, flood volunteer marshals, that in case of a flood emergency, these people have already been trained on what to do in terms of evacuation of people, you know, setting up of the IDP camps, distribution of relief materials and all that. These are things that should be done. We want to see it being done going forward. But if we're talking about the response now, the recovery response, there's practically nothing on ground to show that there's any plan to help people recover from what they've been through in the last few months.
We're already out of time. I wish we could discuss more, but unfortunately, that cannot happen. I'll take a few messages from Facebook. This one from Mezi Manuel says, they failed woefully because the government of today has a long time failed as well. If it were to be a political campaign, trust me that you would see that response team on ground. Well, if it had to do with campaigns in those, and campaigns would go to those areas where the floods affected, I'm pretty sure. This one says, hold on just a minute. Okay, this one says, good morning, presenter. First, I want to thank Felix Otuwaekpo for his immense concern, support, and love for the people. You see, the sector saddled with this irresponsibility. Well, we have to wrap things here. Thank you, Dr. Meyer, for your time.